of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, let us extend our thoughts and union as we work to enrich the lives of our residents. Let our deliberations be free of rancor and filled with concern of others rather than ourselves. Let us plan the odd and the obvious that we might protect our neighbor from the unintended consequences of shallow thought. Let us remember that we are the people serving, not they ours. Let us proceed in peace. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. I would like to call this morning's Kendall County Board adjourned September meeting for January 21st, 2020 at 9 a.m. to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sussage?
Present.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Mr. Gangler?
Here.
Mr. Giles?
Here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Gilmore. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special recognition. I have a couple of things that I'd like to recognize this morning. The first one is we have Rizzo, the dog, who has joined us today, along with John Cady and Dwight Baird, Sheriff. Do you guys want to come up for a moment? And okay. We'd like to welcome our newest deputy to the force, Rizzo. Not named HD, which we had, I know was suggesting. We wanted him to listen, as Eric said. Yeah, right. He'd be sleeping.
Is he still a puppy?
Yeah, he's
huge.
He's 10 months old. On the 26th, he'll be 11 months old.
Oh, my God.
He's still learning. We train every day. Every day I'm on shift, we train. The other day when it was, blizzarding out, we trained then too. I had trails already laid on Wednesday and Thursday for me to run on Friday, and we ran them in the snow and pouring rain. So he got them. One was 51 hours old, and the other one was 28 hours old, covered
wow.
in snow.
Oh, all wow.
hard surface, so.
Good job.
And so what is his primary role going to be for the
it's for it's all for tracking, search and rescue, anybody that's missing, any offenders that run, anything like that. That's what he can do. We collect evidence, send evidence, and use that for sending him up and tracking people. So we went to Bolivar, Tennessee in beginning of December. And that's when I got him. Was training down there for a week, and that was mostly for me to learn the dog, because the dog's been running trails since he was about 8 weeks old.
Oh,
wow!
So, and they got other ones that same thing. They're barely even away from their mom, and they're already running trails. So
that's great.
So Rizzo was the name that was chosen, right? From
right.
people donating.
Yeah, how did they come up with the name?
Yeah, that was the name that was drawn from all the donations for the fundraising.
Awesome.
Yeah. And what kind of dog is he?
He's a full-blood bloodhound.
Oh, he's okay.
Yep.
He's got Jim in his sights now, so.
I know, he won't let you out of his sight.
keep your eye on him.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Right. He's a good dog.
Mr.
Kelly? He's a little scared right now, though.
Well, yeah, probably
he doesn't like new things, so it takes him a minute to
get
much bigger, right?
He's only going to put on maybe another 5 or 10 pounds. He was 58 pounds when I got him in December, and as of Friday, he was 60 pounds, so he's only put on 2 pounds. But we run a lot, so.
Does he go home with you then?
Oh, yeah. He stays at the house in a kennel with me. He lives there, gets along with the family great.
It's cute.
So.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He found the break room in our office.
Did he? Eric says that he found the break room with the treats at the state's attorney's office. So, well, thanks to you, Deputy Cady, and Deputy Rizzo as well for coming in here this morning.
He sure is cute.
Yep.
Okay.
detective.
Yeah, detective.
Well, not detective, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
All right. Thanks for bringing Rizzo by. Thanks, Sheriff. Next up, I would like to recognize several of our schools in Kendall County, which achieved the exemplary designation from the Illinois State Board of Education. And I can have one of you explain it better probably than me, but my understanding is an exemplary school is a school that has no underperforming subgroups, a graduation rate of greater than 67%, and whose performance is in the top 10% of schools statewide. A school that receives a Tier 1 exemplary school designation may apply to serve in the Illinois Empower Network of Partners as well. And there are, I think, four different transparent designations: the exemplary, commendable, which I think Mr. Shaw must have had something to do with, underperforming and lowest performing. So we're excited to recognize several as exemplary. And I know, Tony, I talked to you a little bit beforehand. You know a little about this, and Scott and Robin, you might as well. But Tony, do you want to add anything about the exemplary designation?
Yeah, I mean, just you know, from what you talked about, you had a good outline there. It's, like I said, several categories that you can score on. And I can just, you know, speak for, you know, maybe our school has to release
sure.
individually, but it's just a great honor to be able to accomplish this. It's just basically, it's really nice to see, because I mean, we do have new leadership in the building in the past couple of years, and it's just a great example of how that leadership has fostered an environment where students and teachers want to work even more and even harder for the purpose of the school. So it's just really great to see. I think it's a good, great reflection of the leadership that we have in the building to be able to accomplish something like this. It's not easy to do. So especially with all the, you know, difficulties that you have, not difficulties, but all the other things he has to do throughout the course of the day with, you know, managing a school of, you know, nearly 3,000 people and faculty and staff. So it's just, it's great leadership. I'm very excited at the school that we're able to accomplish this. So I'm just gonna keep working hard.
Thank you, Tony. And Scott, do you have anything you want to add? I know you were a Oswego East alum.
No, my
teacher, teaching alum.
Yeah, taught there very long, well, since the school opened. But there are many subgroups underneath that they have to qualify, and every one of those has to pass the standards as well, too, which is important. And I think, you know, Tony touched on it. It comes from the leadership and just the overall community. It's a big part of making that, turning that school in to what it is today, Oswego East, and then there's three other schools that I think it's the culture of the school, culture of the community to be supportive, and you know, just make sure it's a successful environment for kids to grow and learn. So it's outstanding to see this.
Robin, do you have anything to add?
As a parent and volunteer at the school, I can say that the rating matches what my experience has been having kids there the last 6 years, so I'm happy to see the designation for the school. And it's all the academics, but it's also the community, you know, the parents and students as well. There's surveys that the participation helps the score. You have to have a certain level of participation. So getting the parents involved enough to take the time to do that 5-minute survey is also important. So I'm just really happy that they earned it, because they definitely deserve it.
Yeah, that's great. So I guess let's start with Oswego then, with as long as we kind of already have, with Tony being a teacher over there. I saw Dr. Sparlin here. Is there anyone else from SD 308 that's here? Oh, I'm sorry. Right next to you. Hey. If you both would just come on up. And I've got a plaque I'd like to present to each one of the school districts. It just says, you know, for achieving exemplary designation by the Illinois State Board of Education, presented this 21st day of January 2020. And you're welcome to say a few words if you'd like as well. And
share what we just talked
about. Okay. You know, this is such an exciting honor. I'm Laura Bankowski. I'm principal at Oswego East. And, you know, thank you, Tony and Scott, for those kind words. But OE has an absolutely amazing group of individuals who come together every day and do their absolute best for students. And they work hard. They give everything that they have. And I can honestly say, in my 26 years of education, I have never had the opportunity to be so blessed to work with such a group of amazing teachers. Our students come in every day. They're ready to learn. They work hard. They want to
get the most that they can out of their education, and that's all through the support of their parents. So this is such an exciting honor. This places us in the top 10% of schools across high schools across the state. And so we are in the top 68 high schools within the state. And so we're very, very excited at this. And, you know, as Tony mentioned, we're continuing to work hard. We continue to look at all those sub scores and our freshmen on track and our attendance rates and getting everyone to complete the five essential survey, which is so important for to reach that designation. And so we're excited to see what we can do in the future. So thank you very much for having us here today and for recognizing all of us and the hard work that everyone puts in. So we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Excellent.
Here's a picture, Mr. Chairman.
I know, because we always get the door.
We talked about it.
Your parent.
No,
it's much better.
Like a backdrop that can drop from the side. Yeah. Yeah, no, it would be nice. I know, right?
Thank you.
Thank you. We're all scrambling to get out of photos.
So next up, I have, let's see, Lisbon Grade School. Is that right? Yes, Lisbon Grade School. And I should mention Chris Mahochko, the regional superintendent, had intended to be here today, and he had a family emergency come up, so he could not be here. But I know that he's very excited as well and sends along his congratulations to everyone. He's probably talked to everyone individually, I'm sure, at this point, too. So is Melanie Elias, are you here? Mm-hmm. You want to come on up as well? Lisbon SD 90 Administrator. And you're welcome to say a few words if you'd like. I've heard lots of great things about the Lisbon Grade School over the years, and congratulations on the exemplary designation as well. And then is this part of the Newark? Is this SD 66 or is not?
No, we're separate? District 90.
Got it. Okay.
So I just want to thank you all for recognizing Lisbon Grade School. It definitely takes a village to raise our kids, and I have to say that I'm so proud of our staff and our students and our community and our parents. Without all of us working together, it's not just one person. It's definitely the whole group, and our kids just come in ready to learn, and we're just very proud of all the accomplishments that they've been able to show over the years. So very proud to be an administrator and to represent Lisbon Grade School this morning. Thank you very much for having us.
Superintendent Demetra Terman. Demetra, are you here?
Yes.
Yeah, do you want to come on up as well for Newark? And I feel like we keep recognizing Newark for different things.
So. I am Matt Tuftoy, who's our board president, and Ms. Pam Rowe, who's our principal this year at the grade school.
Great. Do you have anything you'd like to say about Newark? Or?
I'm going to turn that over to my board president.
All right. Yeah.
I've been nominated, so on behalf of the Newark School District, I would like to say thank you to the board for taking the time to recognize this achievement. I can't take credit for it. As school board president, it's the principal and the superintendent who put in the work day in and day out, and I can say, looking from the outside in, that I'm so proud of the job that both of them do. Our school, everybody knows that Newark is proud of who we are, and I am proud of both of them and the achievement that has been accomplished. To be recognized is just a formal recognition for the job that both Demetra and Pam do every day at the school. Our parents and our community are extremely happy to be in Newark, and this is a very proud moment for all of us. So thank you so much for taking the time this morning to recognize us. So
thank you.
Great job, and I'd like to present you with this as well. Congratulations to our grade school for achieving exemplary designation.
All right. Now, Yorkville. I know that, is Dr. Shimp here?
Yep.
Right past you there, yeah. And Principal Robert Battery?
Michelle Bryant is actually our current principal.
Oh, wrong.
Okay.
Sorry, got to give credit where credit's due here.
And then we have Emily Black, who is our principal.
Yeah, Yorkville grade.
And then we do have two of our board members. Dr. Lynn Burks, our board president, is with us.
Come on up.
Mr. Tom Kozlowitz, one of our
not going to let you guys off the hook. You need to come on up.
And I'm going to open the floor to our two principals.
Sure.
Ms. Hendricks.
My daughter attends this school, and I can vouch for the fact that she's enthusiastic about attending. She has nothing but good reports. The culture there is very, very healthy. Like, it's very healthy. The children are. No, it's a big deal because not every school promotes an environment that's conducive to learning where the kids feel safe. And at Grand Reserve, they've really paid a lot of attention to that. I had an opportunity to experience the IEP program when we were caring for my granddaughter, and it was outstanding. And everyone at that school is very, very dedicated to the children, and it shows. And my daughter, we moved here, was nervous about it, and is now just absolutely devastated that this is her last year there. So thank you guys very much for all of your hard work. Mm-hmm.
So hard to believe she's a sixth grader already.
I know, right? I know.
This is my fifth year at Grand Reserve. Mr. Batty, we came in together at the same time, and it is an honor. Thank you for recognizing us. We're in a great place. Our staff is amazing, and we really pride ourselves on supporting our students and my job supporting the staff and the safety of all of our kids. So we appreciate this very much. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Emily Leck. I'm principal of Yorkville Grade School, so just over the bridge. I am very, very honored to be here, and I can honestly, we're known as the small school with the big heart. We're a tiny little school, and it really is an all-in mentality. Where every single member of our staff is all in with their hearts. They jump in every day, and that is what has made this possible today, and we really without that mindset, we would not be able to have this accomplishment. So I am really honored just to be here and to be leading that staff and our school. And we have great kids, a wonderful community, and they have worked really, really hard. So this has been extremely exciting for us to have this designation. And I'm just very lucky to be principal of Yorkville Grade. Thank you.
How do you want to hop up here since you directly benefit from this good fortune?
Thanks to all of you for your hard work, to the students for all their hard work, and to the parents as well for this. I'm pretty excited about being able to recognize all of you for this, and hopefully we'll see some more even, you know, next time around within the county. So with that, we're going to take a quick recess, about 10 minutes or so. We've got, we want to invite all of you upstairs. We have some refreshments as well. So about 10 minutes, we'll meet back up about 9:30 to continue our meeting. So thank you.
Awesome.
To start us back up, is there any public comment? Thank you. Consent agenda, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Motion by Sesich, seconded by Hendricks. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Hi.
Mr. Gangler's not back. Mr. Giles is not back. Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you. Old business? New business? Elected official reports and other department reports. Sheriff's year-end report. Oh, sheriff's. I'll come back to the sheriff. County clerk and recorder.
My revenue report is in the packet, and I also have an annual report that I've been doing the last several years to just let everybody know what we've been doing and how busy we've been. The big things that I want to point out is with the recorder's office, we did do the e-filing in the MyDoc program. Those are pretty big items for recording. And with the elections, I want to point out we are doing so many more registrations other ways other than people coming in to register. We have the automatic voter registration at the DMV. We did 5,729 additional registrations due to that. The national change of address through the post office caused 2,399 more registrations. And there's also a program called ERIC, where we get information from other states. We did an additional 4,232 registrations. So the voter registration is very busy now. And then, so my report's here. If anybody has any questions about that, I can do that. And then I have one more thing I wanted to talk about.
So how many have dropped offs? Are we have a lot more people registered than we have in the past?
It's typically your drop offs create the same amount. So we're at about 79,000 registered voters. We did our voter registration purge over the summer where we sent out new cards for everybody. With the clerk's office, we did implement the accounts payable system. The whole county did that. That's been something. We've had our struggles with that. We continue to have our struggles with that. Hopefully it'll get ironed out. You know, the more time we give it, hopefully the better it'll get. But that's it. And we are right now, most of you know, the primary election's on March 17th. We have not finalized our ballot yet. We have one more candidate, Michael Bloomberg, that an objection has been filed. Potentially we won't know the results of that objection until the 30th, which is a time crunch for us because we have to have ballots ready by the 6th. So that's about what we got going on for right now.
Any questions for Debbie? There's a lot happening.
A lot happening.
All right. Sheriff, I saw you come back in.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
You're good.
In your packet should have been a copy of the Sheriff's Office annual report. Really, it's pretty much what I expected year to year, with the exception of the inmate housing. We took a substantial increase this year of about $800,000 over what we had budgeted. So that was nice for the county's budget. And then also happy to say that we're between corrections and the Sheriff's Office, we were $258,000 under budget. So with an increase of revenue of about $800,000 for the housing of the inmates and the decrease, it's about $1 million swing. So very pleased with that. And I still feel that we provide an excellent service to the community. So and thanks again for all your support. A lot of these programs, such as the dog today and some of the stuff we've been able to implement in the jail to make it safer for staff and the inmates, would not come without your support. So, and some of the technology technology advances that we've had in the jail and some of the equipment, which there's an item up today, helps cut down on man hours in the jail. And stuff has been video visitation, the body scanner, and now we're looking at a male scanner today. And those are all things that really help save time and make the jail a safer environment. So does anyone have any questions of myself?
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Treasurer, Jill, or a proxy out there? Clerk of the court. Haven't heard in a while. State's attorney. We have a project called Eric.
Yes. You're welcome for that.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it is, but you're welcome. It's our annual report.
Oh, sorry.
For both of you. You guys can actually just have one.
Thank you. Thank you.
We could have taken one and passed it.
Why do that? Here, you'll ask for one anyway.
So, we do our annual report. We're not required to do so, but I always think it's nice just to give an update. I don't have a dog. I didn't save you $1 million this year. We didn't get an award. Maybe I should have done this on a different day.
You have a seat.
Yeah.
Quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, I get to follow that. But just a couple things. I mean, you've heard this report for those that have been on the board for several years. We'd like to give an update just kind of where we're at with numbers, what we've been doing. Most of what happens, you folks don't see on a daily basis. You're not over at the courthouse where most of the work is done by the criminal division. That happens over there, and obviously that's a good spot. When you don't hear a lot from over there, that's a good thing for the people in this county. Unfortunately, we are busy. We do have things that are, you know, some very serious crime that's occurring in the county. We are fortunate, the fact that we are surrounded by other bigger counties with larger cities, that a lot of that has not trickled over into Kendall County. So we've been very fortunate when I talk to other state attorneys of some of the challenges that they have. So our numbers are basically the same. I'm not going to, you can read it. I'm not going to belabor some of it, but there's a couple things I just wanted to mention. One is our Juvenile Justice Council. Again, we raised over $10,000 with our Sky Run, and that goes directly to some of the schools that actually were here for some of the grant programs that they get for truancy issues. So again, we're able to give back through that program and keep some of those people that would normally go into the court system and keep them out of the court system through those programs. So it's a great way to divert them from having to do more. So that's been going really well. Our key date training that we provide to the officers has been going very well as well. That's just a 15-minute update to all the officers as they come in for their monthly court date. They get that information right before they go into court. So we can address issues quickly without having to go out and do roll call training and try to hit all the agencies at one time. So that's worked out really well. I got to give a little kudos to the side that you do see a lot, the Civil Division. They've been extremely busy this year again. A lot of behind-the-scene work, a lot of the contracts that you approve, a lot of the issues that you address obviously are taken care of through them. One of the things that I always like to mention, because I know it's collective bargaining time, we did our numbers from last year for 2019, and we had a cost savings just on that of over $150,000. So that doesn't count even what we've spent so far just in January of 2020. And again, with several of the bargaining units yet to come, we always hope that that's a good service that we can provide and also as a savings to the taxpayers as well. A couple quick things I wanted to note that we were able to do this year, and then I'll answer any questions. Number one, we did launch our Kendall County Domestic Violence Response Team. That started January 1st. Technically, they started on the 4th because of the holiday and scheduling for everybody. Knock on wood, fortunately, we've had a lot, not as many domestic cases as we've had. I don't think it's direct corresponding. I wish it was, but that project has gotten off and running, so it's good to see that that's working. And thank you to Mitchell Brown, Sheriff's Office, and Health and Human Services for each collaborating with that to make that successful. Speaking of Mitchell Brown, we were able to get that contract approved. They will be moving hopefully this month into that new space, which will be a great facility for them to have. So I appreciate the board working with that. Jim Smiley, a lot of effort on his part. Judge Pilmer as well for allowing that to occur inside that building. So that's good. And then obviously we're working towards our mental health court. So we're hoping to have that hopefully up and running by the end of this fiscal year. A little bit tougher because of the drug courts are easy to open because there's a lot of facilities for people with drug addiction. It is more difficult for those with mental illness. So we want to make sure we're doing it the right way. We're making sure that we've got all the things in place before we start the program. We already have a list of people that would be eligible candidates. So as soon as we can get it up and running, we hope to have that moving along. So again, thanks for the board for their support and the money from last year that will help implement the program, at least going forward, so we can get other funding sources. So any questions, comments, concerns? Otherwise, you can get to your board meeting.
This has its...
well, I have a couple of questions that you actually answered, but as far as the mental health court,
yes. Well, we've gotten through a couple of them. One was who would the team members be? We're going to use our drug court team with a couple exceptions. We're going to have a few alternates that will be in that, but it would be the same. Two is where are we going to put it in the court call? The courts are already busy. We have to figure out another court time where we staff the cases on a weekly basis, plus actually have the court call for the participants to come in. We've got to create the manual and the procedures that they will follow, as well as what we'll follow as a court system. When I say we, collectively the team. So that all has to get done. And we also have contracts with service providers that we need. A lot of it will be done by Health and Human Services, and we're thankful that we have that ability here. You may see that they may need additional resources as that comes forward, and obviously they always try to do the best they can, but if the need arises, I hope you would be supportive of that too, as it helps to address other issues. But just trying to get all those things in order. Now, we're not starting from scratch. We're using a lot of them from other counties, but we're also trying to take the best of each and put those together to see how it fits our needs in Kendall County. I never say never, but my plan is...
three of them.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm hopeful we can do that. The plan right now is to use current staff. And again, that's what we did with drug court. We were able to do a real rearranging of job descriptions as well as assignments to do that. We're hoping to do the same thing with that. I actually participate in drug court, so that helps staffing wise, that if someone can't, I can always go in there and be part of the staffing. We have one today at 1 o'clock. So the plan is to do the same thing. Just depends how many people we get into the program, so, and how often they have to meet. So the providers spend a lot more time than the attorneys do, so the public defender and ourselves don't spend as much time that the coordinator and the probation officer and the counselors provide. They're meeting with them very frequently. So
we have high hopes for this drug service, and of course, so we're going to be watching. I think that
I would like it to be up and running today. From a personal and professional standpoint, I would like to be up and running, but I also want to make sure we do it the right way. And it is difficult because you see people that you want to put in the program and would definitely benefit from going in the program. One of the reasons I came here in the first place. But we also want to make sure we're doing it right, because we will have to be accredited by the Illinois Supreme Court, just as we are for drug court. So again, if we take a little time and we do it the right way, is much better than trying to fix things once you've started the program. So I appreciate your patience. It is a difficult process, and they're working hard over there. It's not like we're just sitting around waiting, but it's something that we want to get done.
Mr. Giles.
I just want to say thank you for obviously numerous things that your office is doing to promote the general well-being of the county, and just to highlight a couple. The drug court is very nice to see how successful that has been, and I know we're all very excited about the mental health court coming about, but we do appreciate you taking your time and doing it the right way, as opposed to everyone just being so excited about that we rush into it and we maybe miss some things here and there, because it's probably a lot easier to do it the right way, a little slower than it is to go back and try to fix things as they go along. But I just think it's those things that you're doing, like the drug court, the health court, that then promote an overall healthier county, which then results in fewer incidences like we see on on this page here, these incidents coming down. So a lot of those things that don't get seen, but I want to say thank you for that.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate it. Like I said, most of our stuff doesn't get seen on a daily basis, and that's okay. I'm perfectly fine with that. So you know, as long as we're doing well, we kind of stay out of the news. We like to keep it that way. So,
Ms. Vickers?
I just want to say I've now sat in on 5 different units that are bargaining, and I cannot fathom doing this job without ASA Leslie Johnson, because she's teaching me as we go, because I'm new to the process, but just her knowledge and the time she puts in and the hours that I'm getting emails from her when she's up working, that it's absolutely amazing, and it's it's worth way more than whatever you said we paid. We saved $100,000. It's worth, you know, 5 times that easily, just in making the job easier for the rest of us.
Yeah, I think you kind of glossed over that with the $150,000 saved, how much Leslie means to us and to our county. And thank you, Leslie, for all that you do. We do appreciate it, and probably we definitely don't say it enough. So,
well, and I don't want to single out someone, but obviously Leslie is a valuable member to our staff, so valuable that there was a situation where Leslie had to leave. I offered to come over, and the union was like, nope, that's fine. We'll get another day. We don't want to deal with him. Leave it. We're happy. We'll get an extension, and we'll be fine. I understand, and I appreciate Leslie just because she has a background that I don't have. And I'm always just a little reluctant, and I appreciate the comments, because we do have, you know, 8 criminal prosecutors that work over there on a daily basis that are handling some just horrific things that, you know, most people would be, you know, very upset about having to deal with one time, let alone having to deal with it every day they come to work. So everybody does their job in our office, and I have to say that it's nice. And when I go to conferences and I listen to the problems and issues that other state's attorney's offices are having, it always makes me feel good when I come back here and realize that what little issues that we have once in a while are just so minuscule, and other state attorneys would love to have those problems. We, you know, it's a great thing. And they're doing a lot of work over there. We have, you know, unfortunately, we do have some violent crime in Kendall County, and you know, having to deal with those type of cases, the sex assaults and the child pornography and the armed violence type cases, murders, you know, are difficult for our staff to deal with, domestics in general. So it's a team effort. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have a great team, and Leslie's one of those people, and Jim and Annie, who you see every day. And but there's also that criminal division that works over there that you don't see. I was going to, you know, one day I'm going to bring them over here, probably scare you to death when they all show up. It's just I'm trying to figure out a day when they're not in court and we can shut down the criminal court system, or have them come at night when they're like, I don't want to really be at a county board meeting. No offense to you guys. They have other things they probably want to do. But it would be nice, you know, for them to get a chance to come over and actually see the people. And you to get to see them, more importantly, as to who does that work. And
well, maybe we can do a cow at the over at your building, and then we can just have them come out. And,
yeah, I mean, and I'm not trying to make a special exception for them, because they're no better or worse than you know, every other unit that works in the criminal justice system, from the law enforcement, probation, circuit clerk, coroner, you know, public defender. We all have, you know, a lot of those. But it would be nice, and maybe just for the whole courthouse.
Yeah,
just to meet those people and put a name with a face and a face with a name. So, but yeah, it's if you haven't been in a criminal courtroom where you see what comes in and out of there, or sat through a trial or something like that, you know, you have a little bit different appreciation for what they have to go through on a daily basis. Any other questions?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll do that.
All right.
Thank you. Bless you. Coroner. Thank you for all you do as well, for piling on the accolades. And I guess I'll take a second to do that. You know, Eric, you mentioned that you don't have the issues, in many cases anyway, that you see when you're talking to fellow state's attorneys and some of these different things. I can say the same thing when I'm at these different events, and I think, Matthew, you go to many more than I do, on these, you know, ISACO or UCCI, and you hear some of the stories coming in from other counties about their state's attorney, about their coroner, about their sheriff, about the chief judge. Or, yeah, right, they file suit against each other. And I think we have a really good working relationship with all of you here in the county. And we have our moments, of course, but, you know, like any family you do. And we work through it, I think, and we end up having a pretty good service to the county as a result of that. So thank you, guys.
Thanks. Well, I guess if we're going to do it, I'll say that back. So. I've worked for two other counties, and I couldn't even tell you the name of their county board members. You guys are also, you know, just as involved with us as we are, you know, with you guys. So that kind of goes both ways, and I notice a big difference between this county and other counties I've worked for. So anyway, I gave my annual report last month, so I will be quite brief. This is just my report for December. The report is in your packet. And if you look, it kind of mirrors almost exactly what we did last year for December as well. So we're just trending in the same direction. And if you have any questions, I will be certainly happy to answer any of that.
Any questions for Jackie?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Health Department. Dr. Tokars.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not giving you my annual report yet, but I do have some important things to say to you, and these are areas of challenge. These are all related to behavioral health. So the first thing I just want to say something about is the opioid death rate in Illinois. The state of Illinois just came out with its preliminary figures for 2018. I know that is now 2 years ago, but those are the latest figures that we have for all of Illinois. And what we are continuing to see is an increase in opioid death. The largest reason for that across Illinois is synthetic opioids, mainly fentanyl. That the mean ages there are in the ages of 25 to 34. The mode race is Caucasian, although I want to note that across the United States, the rate is higher for black persons. And the gender is primarily male. Now, in Kendall County, our figures look a little bit different. We are not continuing to see the steep rise. However, when we separate the kinds of opioid death in Kendall County, what might surprise you is the one place that we do continue to see a rise is in prescription opioid death, including methadone now. This is female Caucasian in the ages of 25 to 34. When I look very specifically at those prescription deaths and methadone death, we also are seeing the ages of 15 to 24. So a lot of work to be done in the area of opioid death now. We've done a lot of work on access to treatment. We've done a lot of work on safe storage of medication, a lot of work with educating physicians on prescribing. We know in talking to the physicians that people are much safer in prescribing. One of the things that we are noticing when we're talking with colleagues in other counties, and I don't know if something will be able to be done this year on that, but has to do with a policy issue in the prescription drug monitoring program known as the PMP in Illinois. This became law last year that all physicians need to participate in looking to see whether or not there were prescriptions already given. However, Illinois physicians do not have a complete tool at their disposal in that this has no ability to look beyond Illinois. A Michigan physician, before prescribing, can see whether or not something was prescribed in all the other states that have a PMP. An Illinois physician cannot see what's happening in Kentucky, Indiana, Missouri, or Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, cannot see that, is blind to that. And so we know that individuals are moving across borders, visiting with friends and family, and then maybe replicating a prescription here. And this does not completely explain what is happening. But one of the things that would be very helpful in that policy is to have reciprocal agreement, reciprocity, with other states in the state PMP program. And that does take legislative action. So I want to mention that is something that is just starting discussion. I don't know if anything will happen with it, but I know that that would be very, very important, along with all the other many things that we've been talking about. Another area of that is considered a death of despair, and I've talked about this here many times, Jackie has brought it up as well, is suicide. The suicide rate in Illinois is climbing faster than the opioid rate, and it is across the country as well. Our own, the state does not break it down in the same amount of detail as it does the opioid, because suicide is not one of the top 10 causes of death. In Illinois, the top 10 causes of death for Illinois are heart disease, cancer, and accidental injury, which much of the opioid death rate falls into. Suicide is 11. I hope that next year we don't see it as 10, and then we'll be getting even a lot more breakout information on that. But what I will tell you about trends in suicide for Kendall County is that those continue to be predominantly a little bit more male than female. Gunshot as the leading method, which has changed for Kendall County, and a mean age of 47. So I want to mention that to you because there's so much work to be done in that area as well. And then one other area that is being referred to by our federal government as an injury, and this relates to vaping death, is that we do continue to see some of these cases coming up across the country. It is leveling off because people are becoming aware of what is happening, so educating people does help with that. But they're still investigating this, and we still don't have nearly as much information as we would want. They're still looking at vitamin E acetate, but I just want to read you this statement that we're seeing again and again in the literature as tentative statements for us, and that is, it states that this study reinforces existing CDC and FDA recommendations that people not use THC-containing e-cigarettes. So a lot more to be done, but those are being referred to as deaths of injury because of this sudden onset. So sad news, but good news showing that when we act, we can make changes. And I really want to bring up this prescription drug monitoring program issue, because this is an area of delimitation for us that we can also do something about. Any questions?
I would just like to ask if you could reiterate what our drug disposal that we offer, perhaps for the press to be able to repeat that as part of that controlling prescription drugs at home.
Absolutely. So a couple things. Many of our pharmacies have ways that you can drop off medication now. There are individual drug disposal kits. This is an initiative that we worked on with the sheriff's office, brought this to us, and we have given these out widely. But our good colleague, our sheriff, has a 24/7 drug disposal on our county campus. So that is also, thank you so much for bringing that up, Member Hendricks.
I want to add on to that. I'm glad you brought it up, too, because that's an issue that has come up at some of our county like the Illinois County meetings, where sheriff offices have kind of become, it's almost too much what's coming back to them, so they've been looking for alternate locations. I have been in touch with Walgreens in the county about trying to expand the locations where they can take them back, and spoke to one. We have one at the Plainfield in Joliet, I believe. Let's see, wait, hang on. I can give you the exact. I'll have to circle back on it, I guess, but, oh, here. Douglas Road in Montgomery and 100 West Veterans Parkway here in Yorkville are the two that have currently have them, and we're trying to get them at the one in Plainfield and Joliet, among others as well.
That's wonderful.
And also, I think it's important for everybody to remember that this is a no questions asked, and it doesn't necessarily have to be prescription drugs. If it's a drug and it's in your house and you need to get rid of it, you can dispose of it, no questions asked.
Yeah, also these in-home disposal kits are very, very nice and very, very easy to use as well. Those are individuals that really want to get rid of something right away, don't want to even have it stored. Poison Control Center also is reporting high injury and some mortality rate for toddlers and infants where, you know, their eyes can see everything, pick up something off the floor and just put it in their mouth and eat it. So thank you, Chairman Gregg, for bringing up those initiatives as well. Yeah, very important.
Anything else?
Again, I cannot emphasize enough the importance of treatment. These are deaths of despair, many of them. We want people to get help for addiction struggle. We want people to be welcomed into help for mental health needs. And we're fortunate to have that right here in our county.
Well, that brings me to another point. Can we also, just for the sake of disseminating this information to the public, I want everybody to be aware that the Public Health Department actually has a lot of services available for the counseling of family members who are dealing with someone who has addiction and mental health and behavioral services. And they really have built a culture at the Public Health Department of feeling privileged to serve our community in such an very, very important way on issues that are literally a matter of life and death. And I would encourage anybody who has a family member, a friend, or themselves are struggling with addiction to contact the Public Health Department because they have a very compassionate and effective response.
Thank you. Thank you, Member Hamdrick. We do, so we are accredited as an integrated treatment center so that many individuals we see struggle with maybe both a mental health and an addiction issue. So that really makes treatment so much nicer for them and more efficacious. We also have support group for families and work with families on mental health struggle of their loved ones, but also with addiction struggle. So that's very important. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, I've taken a lot of your time. Happy New Year and good morning.
Thank you. Supervisor for Assessments, Andy. Do you have good news for us today, Andy?
I do have good news. I always have good news. Well, first, thanks for approving my salary. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, there you go.
Pay the bills. Board review should be done with all their stuff today. We've got 25 more that didn't wish to appear, so they'll be finishing those up. Final notices then should go out sometime early February, and we should be ready to certify to the county clerk probably mid-February or so, I would say. So we'll be done pretty much on target from where we have been for last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. So I guess that's good news because that means that should keep the tax cycle on pace.
Everybody's
so
excited about that.
Yeah. That's what I hear over and over, right?
Yeah.
Yep. We want to pay our taxes on time.
That's right.
They can't wait, yeah.
I'm sure they can't. So funny, though, I do get a lot of people calling wanting to know where their bills are and that sort of thing. And yeah. It's usually because they're from Cook County, but because they're on a different cycle. But other than that, if you got any questions for me?
Questions for Andy.
Nope.
Thanks,
right.
Andy.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Yep. Executive session, there is a need, but I'd like to push that down to the end, if that's all right with everyone. And it shouldn't be too long, I don't think. Standing Committee Reports, Law, Justice, Legislation, Tony Dallas.
I'd like to make a motion for the approval of Vero Vision mail screening systems in the amount of $135,400.
Second.
Motion by Giles, seconded by Hendricks.
Just in real brief here, this came forward to me a couple months ago, and the great thing about this is it's really kind of cutting-edge technology to be one of the few places in the area that has something like this. And does a variety of things. and just what it's doing is it's scanning the mail, makes it easier for our corrections officers to be able to detect any type of drugs or whatever coming in. You know, you use a light scanner to do that. So, I mean, with the various ways that they mask, you know, drugs in between paper, underneath stamps, crayons, stuff like that. It's just a very quick and easy way to do it. It also helps to protect our corrections department who's doing that actual handling of it. They have to handle it less, and then also they get a higher detection rate. So therefore, at least the less of it in the jail. So
it's pretty good. Anyone from Sheriff want to add anything?
I couldn't say it any better than Tony did.
Okay. Mr. Kelly.
Yeah, this is an item that the Sheriff and the Finance Committee and myself have talked about quite a bit prior to the budget being approved. It's a capital approved item in their budget, so there's no question there, but something the Sheriff was pretty passionate about getting done as soon as possible. So.
Okay. Roll call.
Excuse me, Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you. Anything else, Tony?
No, that's all.
I know we're expecting a lot from you in the next meeting or two.
Yeah.
For your committee. Planning, Building, and Zoning, Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of petition 2001, request from the Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee to repeal and replace Kendall County's recreational vehicle and campground regulations.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Hendricks.
Mr. Chairman, this item was discussed quite a bit at the Committee of the Whole meeting. There was a change made to it in terms of the citation authority that we used to duplicate. That change has been made into the final copy that is on our desk currently. PBZ committee and staff recommend an aye vote.
Do you want to point out where that's at? You have it in front of you?
It is
page 47 in your packet.
Page 47, thank you.
Page 47 and addition is on starts on page 51 and goes to page 52.
Thank you. Ms. Sessage?
So is this something that we had the state's attorney's office look at? Or is, I know I think I asked this at Cal, but when we're adding in, I guess, the citation authority, does that make a difference in having, you know, the state's attorney's office review it? Or at least know?
We have not looked at it at all.
Do you know that this is coming, that this is the citation authority?
I mean, that's the direction that PBZ committee was going on a lot of issues. Specifically this one, we haven't looked at it.
Mr. Prochaska?
As stated at Committee of the Whole, State Attorney's Office was not asked to review, and after, as also stated at Committee of the Whole, we did add the citation authority into.
Ms. Gillen?
Didn't we get an email from State's Attorney's Assistant State Attorney Jim Webb about reviewing this?
That we haven't reviewed it. We just want to make sure you're aware of it. Yes, that's correct.
And he asked if anybody wanted to have it reviewed in the email, and I said yes. So.
And that's a decision the board.
I don't know if anybody else responded to that.
I didn't know if they were waiting for PBZ chair or actually the chairman of the board to say.
We just want you to be aware that we have not. If we're going to be asked to enforce it, obviously, that's a decision up to the board.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. If you want us to, we will be happy to look
at
it.
Well, I'm okay with approving it, but it's probably something you all should know.
Yeah.
So can we postpone the vote on this until
I'll make that a motion to.
Yeah, I'll make the motion.
What would the official motion then be? Motion to continue pending review of the
table. It?
Just yes. Table.
Motion to postpone pending review of state's attorney.
Ms. Gilmore made that.
Second.
Motion seconded by Vickers. I'll do a roll call.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
All ayes. Okay. Thank you. We'll bring that back whenever you get a chance to take a look at it.
Shouldn't take very long.
Anything else from PBZ?
The only announcement is that probably within the next couple months, month or two, the Regional Plan Commission will be initiating a comprehensive revision of our zoning ordinance. So just keep that, it's for the entire county board, keep that in mind. And the Planning, Building, Zoning Committee will probably be requesting a special committee of the whole meeting to go over that 300
plus
page
document. I like the changes. Keep it succinct. And then February 1 is the annual plan commission meeting?
Correct. Regional Planning Commission will be having its annual meeting on February 1st.
What time, 9 o'clock?
9 a.m. in this room. It is a Saturday. At this meeting, I do anticipate some changes being talked about and or requested to our land resource management plan, particularly in dealing with transportation.
In Lisbon Township?
Oh my gosh.
Just asking for a friend. Admin HR, Ms. Flowers.
I need a motion to approve the purchase of Bright computers and accessories for the Sheriff's Department in an amount not to exceed $140,000.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Giles.
And that is for the improvements to the Sheriff's police cars for computers and everything. We've discussed that several times.
Do you have any questions on this? Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
And then a motion to approve the agreement with Waubonsie Community College regarding federal work study program.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Giles. Discussion on this? Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion carries. Thank you.
And a motion to approve the NearMap contract for aerial subscription for a term of 48 months for a total amount of $100,000.
Second.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Gilmore. Any discussion on this one?
Again, we've gone over a lot of details on this, so I think we've...
We had a nice cow committee of the whole. Excellent presentation. Thank you. Any other questions? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion carries. Thank you. Anything else from your committee, Liz?
No.
Pretty busy.
Yeah.
Special committee reports, Mr. Prochaska, UCCI.
Mr. Chairman, the United Counties Council of Illinois will be having its monthly membership meeting this upcoming Monday in Springfield. In addition, they have set the date for their legislative reception and education seminar for the spring on February 25th and 26th, also in Springfield. Also, the Leadership Academy is open for enrollment at this time. Members that have not gone through the Leadership Academy or haven't gone through it in a while are highly encouraged.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Yeah.
You should do. Are highly encouraged to attend. I believe there are 7 sessions covering a wide range of subjects from crisis communications to parliamentary procedures to working with different personalities, etc. I do know several of us have gone through it in the past, and it has been recently recent years.
I think you, Amy, and I, we all graduated from it, and I found it to be pretty good.
I'm doing it again.
Are you?
Yeah.
The cost is nothing to the members. UCCI covers the cost of the program and the cost of the hotel down in Champaign.
Do it too.
Great. I say go.
Mr. Chairman, the Illinois State Association of Counties had their annual meeting in December. At that meeting, they approved the legislative agenda for the upcoming year. The 2 items that Kendall County had requested did make the legislative agenda. The first one being making the county board a co-employer with the circuit clerk's office. And then the second one is actually been introduced as a bill. It is now SB 2466, giving county boards increased zoning authority and revocation authority of special uses.
Great. Juvenile Justice Council, I put this on here just so that you could make your pitch, Judy. And if you want to add anything else, feel free, or Eric.
Mr. Chairman, we meet this afternoon.
Oh, great.
And so we're right in the process of planning the Sky Run, which is May 9th, and I hope you all get out there and run or walk. So just to remind everybody, the Juvenile Justice Council supports various youth activities in all of our area high schools. And this is our one and only fundraiser. There's no taxpayer dollars for Juvenile Justice Council. We also give two scholarships a year. We give, I think, about 9 or 10 truancy grants.
We did 9 last year.
Yep.
To schools in the county that have truancy programs. And so it's a good cause, and I'm asking again that the county board, thank you, would like to be a sponsor. You've been very generous in the past, and I appreciate that, and the council appreciates it. And if you want to be in the race or participate in the race, you do get a discount, I think, as of today, if you register today, if you want to participate. That's about it. If you have any questions.
We actually made it easier. There's a way to avoid the hill. If you really don't want to run up Hoover's Hill at the end, you can do that. You can walk. So there's no excuse why you should not have 10 board members participating in that.
I helped park. I volunteered by parking right. one year.
Oh, that's right.
With Garth.
Yeah, that's right. So the and we do have emergency response vehicles on the scene if something were to happen. So
well,
may or may not help.
Maybe I will.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun too.
It is. And we moved it back a little bit from we usually have it in April, and it's just been really bad weather in April, running in the rain or possible snow.
But, you know, I think last year with the bad weather, we had more participants than
we did.
Ever.
So I don't know if it's just people like running in the rain or had nothing else to do that morning or what, but it, we've had a lot. So I do want to thank, just because they're here, Bristol Kendall's always been able to provide an engine and ambulance.
The ambulance.
Yeah, the ambulance probably a little bit more helpful, but just given the fact that they're there, you know, it's we do have some people that have different conditions that participate, and they always want to volunteer, and you know, just having them available if they even seem to be checked out is always very nice to, just to have that shared resource right there. So I give a special shout out to them. They've been doing it since this will be our 6th year, for the last 5 years. So.
And I'm glad you brought up the thing about the hill too, because a lot of people come out and they have strollers or wheelchairs even, and they don't want to, you know, experience that hill at Hoover, but so we've modified the course. If you don't want to do that hill, you don't have to.
But I'm sure all of you will be running the hill.
No.
So.
Well, you will need the ambulance if I try to.
Thank you both, and I'm going to put you on the spot, Robin. I was trying to.
Hey, I saw you, with
and/or Scott, you can bail her out if you want. I just wanted to get an update on the census, you know, the complete count,
sure.
Or at least highlight the work that is going on, and the, you know, the grant that we received and all that. If you want to just take a minute.
We did receive a $25,000 grant. I can't remember if we've told you that or not. Mira is actually to the credit for that. She sought out the grants and wrote it, and we did receive that. I don't know, is the check here?
Hey, we've got the money, so we're going to schedule the next meeting. There was a proposed budget that was part of the grant, so we'll be having a meeting of that commission to go over the budget and then bring it back to the final board to the full board for a final approval, so we can spend some of the money on social media for awareness of the. We can hire some staff to help get people signed up, and we want to get the word out that, you know, it's very important that everybody gets funded in Kendall County for federal money and all the reasons that we well know, but. That's very exciting that we'll be able to contribute and be a factor in getting people out.
We also have a regional census center in Kendall County, but it's not intended to be open to the public, but it's a kind of a base of operation, which is over in Oswego, so it just kind of shows how important it is. You
know. And Mira and I have been working on getting places where we can go and have either staff or even one of us, if it our schedules allow, to just have a table and, you know, talk to people, especially in the undercounted areas. So we're targeting Long Beach Elementary, Boulder Hill Elementary, Plano, where we can hopefully reach some of the parents that maybe wouldn't do it without understanding more about it. I've spoken at a couple of other just civic organizations, and the thing that suddenly makes everyone like perk up and want to do it is when I tell them that we were undercounted by 20% in 2010. which resulted in not getting $35 million in funding from the federal and state government. So that's the, if that's the one thing you remember about census to tell people, it's that, because that makes people perk up and say, oh, we got to get people to do this. So you're just, the more you tell, we're creating our own army of people to help spread awareness. So
I think the number is actually higher, but I got to go back and look.
Oh, is it?
I thought it was more like 30%.
Okay. I think from our first meeting, Mara thought, okay.
Yeah, but I had the list of all of the counties, all of the counties in the state, and Cook and the Collar in particular were all like that. So I thought it was more like 70%. You know,
70, okay, okay, like so, that, so even more so then.
Yeah. So it's important, yeah.
So we'll have the budget to approve February at the first February meeting, and then we're ready to go with social media and buying a couple of radio spots on WSPY and news things, you know, to get the word out to people. So
great, thanks. Free plug for other business. Chairman's report. Scott, I don't think we have anything else we haven't covered. Public comment? Questions from the press?
Jim Wyman, WSPY Radio. Debbie, what's the objection on the election?
Michael Bloomberg, whether or not he remains, gets his name on the ballot or not.
In Kendall County, right?
Throughout the state.
Oh, throughout the state, okay.
Because it is late.
And Eric, what's the status of the opioid lawsuit that the county entered into?
A couple things. One, there was a bankruptcy petition filed by one of the main participants on the defendant side. So that issue is being litigated, as well as there's still the consolidation and some of the other filings. So it's still pending in Cook County. Again, I don't expect a quick resolution based on the number of defendants that are in it, but the number of plaintiffs that are in it. But we'll keep an eye on it for next year.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right. We do have a need for executive session for the purpose of. Yeah. I think so. Else, yeah.
Right? Stars. Huh? Just for that, correct? Okay. Collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees.
Everybody jump at once.
Oh. I know. Are we supposed to be saying we can do it?
So moved.
A motion by Giles, seconded by Vickers. Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Should be quick.
Famous last word.
We are back in session for the January 21st, 2020 meeting. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Giles. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, everyone. You're adjourned.